Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time, with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode here at You Can Rest Here. I'm sat with two lovely ladies who I genuinely believe exemplify the reason why this podcast exists and what it aims to do. They are authentic, they are free, and they are fan faves. So please, yeah. Round of applause for Ozuchi and Amoke. Nice to see you, ladies.
Nice to see you.
So we met the first time at our last community hangout, which was a lot of fun. If you weren't there, sorry. but we had the best time. How are you guys resting currently in your life?
For me, I'm currently, you know, leaning into, you know, accepting that God is both my father and, you know, allowing him to be my father and my best friend as well. So not shielding my feelings away from him, not shielding my questions away from him. And that means that my body is actually, you know, literally God's body as well. So that has made me feel light in, you know, certain situations. So
I love that. Amen to that. How about you?
Okay, for me, how I've been resting is living each day, living life a day at a time. So personally, I'm obsessed with planning, schedules, making sure everything works the way I want it to work. But beginning of this year, the Lord gave me strict instructions to just trust him. So every day I just wake up, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? Even being here, normally I wouldn't have planned for it, but like, the Lord has just been planning my life and he has really been giving me a lot of peace and ease.
Well, what a prayer. God, please plan my life. Amen.
Yeah.
They were both wondering, like, why did you choose us to be here? And I was like, God literally was shouting their names, like, in the middle of the night. I would, like, try and ignore it. It would be like, no. Reach out to both of them. These are your two fan guests for the last episode of the season. So honestly, ladies, I'm so honored. This episode is a get you a drink, sit back, relax, take it slow type of episode. So don't be in a hurry because we have time and we're going to be hearing from different listeners of the podcast who have sent in voice notes. So we really have like 7 co-hosts today we have a lot of co-hosts. So the first person we're going to hear from is Adeze.
Hello, Mazino. This is Adeze. If I had to summarize this season in one word, it will be rebirth. For me, it's felt like I've been shedding off every layer of myself that was rooted outside of my identity in Christ. And if there's anything I have learned from you, Maz, it is that vulnerability is not a weakness. And with that, rest for me has simply been acknowledging that even before God, I am his daughter whose humanity is not new to him. It may be new to me, but never to him. So resting is knowing that my God will never disqualify me for my weaknesses, but rather he will be my strength. And this has helped me to forgive myself for my past mistakes. So thank you, Mazino. I love you and God bless you.
I love you with your beautiful voice, right? I love how she used the word rebirth.
Yeah.
Because I even feel like I've been reborn through every single episode. Kala said something to me the other day, and she was like, by the way, Kala is our production manager. shout out to her. But Kala said to me that I've become more vulnerable in, like, just not just on the episodes, but even like, because she knows me personally, like, I see her every week, and she was like, I become more vulnerable, I become more open. And people wouldn't believe it, right? But vulnerability is something I'm only having to grow to learn now. And it's funny how God will use things, your obedience, to teach you something that you wanted to learn by yourself. Like, trust me, I've done therapy, I've done different things, but nothing has taught me to be vulnerable, like this podcast. Mm-hmm. Or even sometimes where like I'll play an episode back to my now fiance and he'll be like, yeah, you're holding back a lot. you're not fully being yourself. And I'm like, I'm giving my all. Like, I'm giving everything. Can't you see? He's like, no. You literally, like, let's say I'm telling you about how I went to the market. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, I just went to the market and I picked up some peppers. He's like, no. Tell them how you got into the car and how the Uber driver and you had a comment. Like, he's like, be more expressive, be more vulnerable. Yeah. And I feel like one of the reasons why, I don't know about you guys, how you deal with vulnerability. Yeah. I always just feel like, who cares?
Okay.
But that's something that I'm having to fight because of the fear of being misunderstood. So I'm realizing that it's not that some people don't want to be vulnerable, but like me, oftentimes people don't want to be vulnerable because they feel like they might not be understood or they might not be heard properly. Yeah. How about you on the scale of vulnerability? Where do you weigh?
I've had to dial back my vulnerability, not in a, you know, trying to shield myself way, but just in a, you know, choosing to protect who, like, who I'm being vulnerable with, because I'm a bit on the excessive side at times. And like you said, like, sometimes we need to learn to, you know, balance it works for different people at different times. So yours might be on the left and that person might be on the right. And I learned, because in the Bible we see that Jesus Christ has like 12 disciples, but we see that at every crucial point in time, when he has this very, you know, secret moment, when he's crying to God, Lord God, let this moment pass over me, when even during the transfiguration, we see that he has three people that 100%. He goes, you know, he goes to. So
he had his core people.
So I've learned that I'm going to be vulnerable, like, because I've been burned too many times. Does not mean I would dial you back. No, I'll just choose my lovers.
I'll choose my lovers. I love that.
Okay, for me, I feel like I'm more of the not vulnerable and learning to be more vulnerable. So this year during my birthday, my friends came around and they all just kept saying that, oh, I'm okay, she's this person, she just likes to keep to herself, this and that. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want that to keep coming again and again. So I've been learning to be more open-minded. And like you said, for me, just like, I don't want people to misunderstand. And I also feel like everybody's going through so many things, so there's no point putting mine. But then I've learned, like, even like this year when I was just waiting on the Lord has just told me that I can't trust him if I don't even trust the people around me, right? Even learning how to cast our burdens, God has put, if I don't know how to cast my burdens on the brethren, the sisters, my family members, how do I do it with him? So for me, I've really been learning how to be more open and to trust people, because at the end of everything, we can't see God physically. So if we claim that it's only God I'm with, you're lying if you're not even doing it with the people around you. 100%. So for me, I've been learning to actually be more open-minded, to trust God in people. Yeah,
I think there's a way Jesus did it somehow, right? Where he was able to be so deeply vulnerable and weep before the Lord, right? But still be able to be vulnerable, not just even with those core people, but everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he was never afraid of being seen. Because vulnerability is like, it's like neediness, right? Like you need something. When you're vulnerable, oftentimes it's because you need something. And one thing I've learned about vulnerability is not for the other person. Yeah. So sometimes why you feel cheated is because you feel like that person needs me to be like this. But vulnerability is always for you.
Yeah.
And that sets you apart, because it's like, okay, everyone wants to make me feel like I shouldn't be vulnerable to them because they might use it against me. But it's for me.
Yeah.
So if I ever express, whatever you do with what I express, that's on you.
Actually.
Vulnerability is for me. So you see, Jesus with the feeding of the 5,000, he was vulnerable enough to acknowledge before all these people, I don't have enough bread or fish. And in that vulnerability came the increase, where he prayed, he lifted the bread and the fish to his heavenly father and was like, okay, God, do something with it. And the Lord multiplied it. So oftentimes when we're not vulnerable, we don't experience multiplication. And then people don't get fed.
Yeah.
Vulnerability feeds people. And it feeds you as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure maybe, I mean, who knows? We don't know if he actually ate the bread and the fish, but...
Yeah.
that would have fed him too. So vulnerability actually is for you, but then people benefit from your vulnerability.
Hi Maz, and hello to the You Can Rest Here team. I am an avid listener of You Can Rest Here, and this season has been so revolutionary. I think I've been in a season where I definitely needed a lot of rest, and I've just had to come into the knowledge of myself, and in this new season understand what rest means in my friendships, in my finance, and just in the gifts and talents I have. I've learned to let go of worry, fear, and anxiety and rest in the finished works of Christ. So I'm very excited about this season and many more to come. And thank you so much, Maz, for blessing the Christian community in general and for being so vulnerable. The vulnerability on this pod is second to none. And I am cheering you on, Maz. Looking forward to more seasons to come.
Yes, I'm a vulnerable girl. Okay. Honestly, like, you guys won't believe it, because obviously it's like I sit here, I'm not an expressive person.
I can't relate.
And you know, there's a facade because I'm friendly. Like, and okay, I think that's the vibe you give me, as well as like, because you're friendly, so you're not vulnerable.
Yeah, but people won't know that I'm not.
Because you're friendly. People in my inner circle, exactly. Like,
I'm okay.
Because at some point, it's like, okay, 3 years in, I don't know nothing about you.
Hello.
But you, on the other hand, I'm sure it's like people can get to know you quite easily, no?
Actually.
No.
So for me, it's more of, you know, I'm vulnerable, yeah, but I don't consider myself a friendly person. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm unfriendly.
You're not trying to be mean.
I'm not trying to be mean. It's just like I mostly keep to myself. Mm. So most people like me after they get to know me sometimes. You're like,
they don't like you immediately. They don't like you immediately. It's like after the third piece of food, it's like, this is okay.
I remember my friend even told me, she was like, do you know that if I see you outside, I would never speak to you because you're just burning your face. I'm just like,
I think mine is the reverse. So for me, I think the devil used that against me because I felt like I knew a lot of persons. I was social. I was everywhere. So I didn't realize that I wasn't being open. So I would be going through a lot, but I just felt I was laughing with so many people. So they didn't even know I also needed help. It was until recently, like Julie was just telling her, no, this is actually a problem.
It is.
You need to be open. You need to trust people. You need to do that. And I'm just grateful for my friends. And it's just a shout out.
Like, shout out.
They didn't leave me in that phase that, she doesn't want anybody. Let's just leave her. They were consistent. And yeah, thank you guys.
It's true. Honestly, friendship is something that, like, I think she had just mentioned of just, like, coming to a higher understanding of. And I really felt like the Lord was just sitting on that friendship episode, and even just the forgiveness one I just did with my mom, and just how relationally, when we fail relationally with one another, it usually will affect our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because it's, friendships are important. They are. Like, now I'm like, if I kept doing the no vulnerable thing for the past few years, I would be planning my wedding with my mother.
Please.
Yeah, it's the truth. I would be planning my, and not that, you know, shout out to my mom, she's great, but like, is she gonna be like my bridesmaid? Is she
won't even,
I'm actually, funny enough, I'm not actually having bridesmaids.
Yeah, you said that in season one.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was going to ask you that.
I'm not doing it. It still stands.
it
still stands. I'm not doing it. I guess.
So what's the plan? Everybody just come.
Everyone will come. You know, of course, trad, everyone will wear a sherby, but for the white wedding, I just want it to be simple. Let's keep it cute. Keep it simple. I don't want people having to stand on either side of us. Let's just have space, have room to breathe. You know, and I also feel like the cost of everything is just so much. Like, I want everyone to have the freedom to wear whatever they want as well. So yeah, I'm just so grateful that I have friends to go through this journey with. And I think for anyone who maybe feels like, wow, I've been really sucking at friendship, don't now go into like the mode of like, I need friends. Let me message people. Just place that desire to the Lord and God will bring you people.
Yeah.
Place it to God. I feel like, again, we're such a lonely generation, right? Like,
social media.
Yeah. We know people, and especially Gen Zs, right?
Yeah.
Categorically speaking, like, the most lonely people ever.
Yeah.
And I think I've spoken about, like, how much I run away from TikTok. I don't use the app. I don't have an account. We tried to make it, you can see a TikTok. That failed because I just didn't feel connected to the platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've started teaching people all these fancy words to describe people in their lives. So let's say someone says something and you'd be like, you're gaslighting me. Mm. Or like, you know, it's like we have all these buzzwords and we're so easy to call ourselves things that we're not. So I have, like, now the reigning thing is for people who don't have ADHD, people who are just addicted to their phones and have, like, slowed down their memory capabilities to now say that they have ADHD. Wow, I have ADHD brain. Like, we don't even realize.
Not even cool.
It's not cool.
But I don't know why they've made it so cool. Now I'm like,
I don't know where we're getting to. Maybe you guys can give me some Gen Z insight to understand. Because I'm thinking, like, the idea of, like, raising a child in this day and age is kind of scary.
It's very scary to me, because I'm an adult, but it took me years of being on social media to learn balance. I'm actually a Gen Z, but still, it still took me years of, you know, and I'm just like so many things could have gone wrong in the midst of, you know, learning the balance. I'm just grateful to God that God protected me. But really, How many people out there are being exposed to things that they're not supposed to be exposed to? How many people? I remember even saying that, even down to the way we make friends, the way we view friendship.
Yeah.
Social media makes us exposed to a lot of people that we are not even meant to be exposed to.
Yes.
Even, let's say you are on social media. Let's say you're not even an influencer. Let's say you're following about 500 people. You have about 1K followers. You are keeping up with these people. That's just Instagram. You still have Twitter. You still have, you know, TikTok.
I was telling my friend one time that I can't keep up with all of these social media platforms.
So for me, I still had to learn. I was like, I just delete my app. Sometimes I delete my Instagram. If I find myself logging back, I deactivate it.
Good.
I delete the app. I deactivate my Twitter. Like my friend sent me a TikTok and I was just laughing. So just like everybody has that friend where, you know, you want to send something to someone and you can't find anybody. And that's just because I've even learned that, like, it gives me, sometimes I'm just like, I'm carrying so much burden that has nothing to do with you.
You like, imagine the age we're in, right? Is that when there's a war in somebody's backyard, like, you're aware.
Right.
When there's a war in like, it is too much information coming at you at once. And sometimes you just be feeling things that have nothing to do with you. You'll be carrying pain that, like, fair enough, feel the burdens for others and submit it to the Lord. But, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to be coming on social media and being anxious 24/7.
Yeah.
It's just not not the vibe.
Even I don't think it's very important for these generations to take social media breaks. Like, it's very, very, very important. I'm a YouTuber. I take social media breaks. I go off Instagram. So you don't even have an excuse. Like, you're not even working on social media. So why? Just take the break. And it's not just to keep your mind sane. Some people are on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, everywhere. And I'm like, how are you?
WhatsApp and Instagram alone. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm
Instagram alone and Twitter. I'm like, it's still a lot. And I'm like, please, just, you need that space so that you will not be living a facade. There's so much pressure out there.
Yeah.
And you just need to, you know, just take that space. And, like, sometimes you're so clouded by social media that you don't even honor your parents at home, your friends, because you're like, they don't match the standard. And this, they say this thing, nobody puts their pains and their struggles on Instagram. So before,
but now people do though.
And boys for you,
we're on another spectrum now, because we were the millennials. It's kind of like, oh, just everybody acts like they're okay. Now Gen Zs are like, okay, let you want to know? Let me show you. I'm not okay, and I'm gonna cry on this app. You know what I mean? So I feel like, again, it's not about either end of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's all about honoring the consecration required for your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. Because, for example, as a creative, as a writer, if I live on social media, I will lose my authenticity.
True.
I will lose my voice.
Very valid.
I will begin to look and sound like everybody else,
because
right?
You want to just do
what exactly what's working. Doing. I say to people sometimes that if I wanted to create a strategy to get 100,000 followers on Instagram by June, right?
Yeah.
June is even far. I know the TikToks to make. I know the reels to make, rather. Definitely. I know what to do. It's actually not very complicated. There are people who literally do certain things and they get the results instantly.
True.
But what is required of you from God? What does God want? You know, influence is such a funny thing because people want influence, but they have no idea that when you have influence, the eyes of the Lord are upon you times 100.
True.
Monitoring what you say, how you act, because now his people are involved.
You're accountable.
Yeah. You're accountable. You're held to a much higher standard. You know, and I think we have this thing in Christian culture where it's like, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't, you know, yeah. I'm not a standard for anything. The moment it's like a scientist being like, yeah, after you finish telling us about atomic physics and all these things, you'll now tell us that, sorry, don't come and ask me anything. It's not me. I don't know. I ain't got the answers. You know, like, we have to be accountable for what we do, what we say.
Yeah.
Everything matters in light of eternity. Everything matters in light of that day. So you have to honor your consecration. You see, John the Baptist, right? He wasn't supposed to ever get drunk with wine. So do you know that it wasn't just that God told him, don't drink wine, no. It was that God told him even a grape should not touch your mouth. That was him honoring his consecration. When Samson failed to honor the consecration of not cutting his hair and he fell into the hands of a woman, what happened to him? When you don't honor your consecration, which is why I want everybody, if you're taking anything out of this episode, sit with the Lord, find out who he says you are and honor that consecration upon your life.
True.
Because that is what will make you free.
And I really like that you're hammering the fact that they should honor
their consecration. Not anybody else's. Don't honor mine. I disappear from Instagram.
Oh my God.
Whenever I feel like, I'm okay, please. Juices, right?
But I think that's something Gen Z's are obsessed about. Social media too. Because someone is saying, I'm not doing, okay, we're not doing it.
No, don't
your consecration. Have your relationship with God and honor your consecration.
So I just wanted to, you know, point out, like everyone said, because sometimes, you know, when the way social media works is that before you know it, ideologies begin to build in your mind, false ideologies, things that you know that are contrary to the word of God.
Yes.
And the thing is that there's a mind shift that you don't know that is happening. And subtly, things that you're meant to look and be like, and you'll be abhorred by that thing. Before you know it, you're just like, it's not a big deal. Before you know it, your consecration begins to shift. Your convictions begin to shift. And just like, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's not that crazy. So even when you're even on social media, you even have to be very careful about
what you have to guard
your space.
100%.
You should not be following gossip blogs.
You shouldn't be
following up people that, you know, promote cheating, promote wrong vices. Yeah. Don't do that.
Even if it's funny, just
even if
don't
it's
do
funny,
it.
Like sometimes you can even catch yourself.
I think I said something last time that comedy is the enemy's new way of. So 100%. It's like the children of God are laughing at things that we have no business laughing at.
The moment you even find it funny, you're already comfortable.
Just catch yourself that I'm finding this funny. Do a heart check. Be self-aware.
100%.
I'm not going to watch this anymore.
100%. And I. You see, you wonder how New Age practices have become popular. It's social media. How now everybody and their mama are doing yoga. And all of a sudden it's like a health practice.
Yeah, it's becoming
right?
the norm.
It is, yeah, it's becoming the norm. It's so funny that a lot of non-religious organizations will bring Eastern religion practitioners to do like maybe certain meditations or chakras and New Age things with, you know, tarot cards and tarot readings. But they will say that they are not religious. Yeah. That is a religion.
But when it now comes to maybe Christianity.
No, they would never let you pray on that stage, right? Oh, it's
a Western.
You can do palm reading. Yes. You can tell me about astrology. Exactly. You can tell me about my future, but you can, don't dare mention. You see, what we need to realize is it's not that the world hates religion. Mm-hmm. It's that the world hates Jesus. Jesus is the issue. Jesus is the issue. He is the one that they mock. They don't mock anybody else like they mock Jesus. Mm-hmm. They would never. And because, again, you see, Jesus knew this would happen, which is why he's convicted our hearts to not fight. He's convicted our hearts to love them in spite, because he said, as they hated me, they will hate you.
Yeah.
You know, and I wrote something the other day. I didn't even think I would read this, but I wrote, I have no desire to be a cool Christian. Mm. I have no desire to be a culturally palatable or progressive Christian. I have no desire to be a fine girl that knows Jesus. Mm. Like, we are putting all these layers. Tags. You know, it's like, at least I'm attractive to the world, right? Mm. You know, I don't wear makeup so you can relate to me and be like, wow, this Christian girl is pretty. So like, I'll watch her. Mm. No, that's not why. And I think we need to monitor ourselves from trying to be a Jesus and disciple and this super. And you have to be so careful, because that and will now become your idol. That beauty and Jesus, that beauty will now become your idol. That cool person and you know, because there are people. You see, one thing the world likes, the world likes Christians that don't have conviction,
that easily shaken.
Because they know that, like, you will never speak up for the things of God if something is happening around true. you know, you'll never speak up about it. You'll always just be passive and just be like, okay, yeah, cool, you know. And then when the world is being set on fire, you also will just be, yeah, cool, that's fine, that's I'll fine. Pray no Your prayer is not a, you know, we now use prayer as a weak response. Yeah. Do you know what it means to pray? Right. The Bible tells us that Daniel believed prayer had so much power that when they announced that you must worship the God of Babylon, Daniel went to the roof.
Yeah.
And he prayed.
Yeah.
That's how much power prayer has, that he wasn't afraid of the Babylonians. He wasn't afraid of what they were going to do to him. So if prayer isn't powerful, why would Daniel risk his life like that? And I think for so many of us, we don't experience the fullness of God because we think prayer is cheap. That it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So when we say to someone, even, I'm praying for you, we don't even believe that anything will happen.
It's just like a compliment. I'll pray with you.
God help us. Let's hear from another listener.
Hi, Maz. Hi, You Can Rest Here team. I'm super grateful for season 2 of You Can Rest Here. I think what I like the most about this season is diversity. It just shows how you can find rest in different areas of your life as opposed to one area, like different topics that I never knew I could find rest in, but I literally learned that I could find rest in, and I'm grateful for that. So how am I finding rest in this season of my life? By ensuring I have enough time management. That means no coming to social media before 10 a.m. and at 10 p.m. Just no rest like that, guys, but I'm trying. Ensuring I have more quietness, and this means spending more time with God as opposed to people, and just staying still in the quietness and letting him just speak. Bye.
You see, it's almost like she was just listening to everything we were saying. You see, I've started asking God things like, why are we so afraid of solitude as a generation, right? And I heard God say two things to me. That one of the reasons why is because, one, we're afraid that in the place of solitude, there's nobody to be met there. That when you get 100%. Into the secret and quiet place, you'll be alone. That you won't meet a God there. The second thing is that we love noise, right? And when God doesn't come in the noise, for us, it's like, it's disillusionment, because we're used to hearing, you know, all these words and all these things. And when God is like, hey, I'm not going to be noisy, I just want you to read the word with me, we're like, oh, what do you mean, Jesus? Then you go and find him on a podcast. You go and find him in a YouTube video. And all these things are great. But it's still not firsthand evidence.
True.
You need to... You must know God for yourself. Or else every time you enter into the deep, you will run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I talk to people all the time. I'm like, why? They're like, oh, they're just afraid of the solitude. Mm-hmm. But how can you be afraid when there's somebody to meet you there? Mm-hmm. Imagine God being physically present. And there's a room where he is, right? And you're like, God, no, please speak where there's noise.
Mm-hmm.
I only want you to speak to me on Sunday in church. That's where I can hear God. You know, there are people who have, it's like, but you know, at church, you're hearing a man. Maybe in quiet moments, you might hear the Lord. And yes, you will hear the Lord through a man.
Yeah.
But do you know what it meant to Moses to know that I could speak to God face to face?
Wow.
And we have that.
Mm-hmm.
But we miss out on that opportunity. And one is because we don't know the person that we're about to meet. We don't know their character. We don't know his nature. When you don't trust the nature and the character of somebody, when somebody says, go and pray, go and talk to God, you're like, ah, God care. That God is scary. God is all these things. So I challenge you to learn the nature and character of God. And I promise you, the more you learn the nature and character of God, you will want to know more of God.
Yeah, so just piggybacking on what, you know, Ma said. So I'll just like, you know, to give like a pictorial example. So just imagine that, you know, you're going through stuff and you're given two options. Okay, go and meet this person. You've known this person in your life, let's say like 7 years of your life, and you trust this person. Or let's say you don't even trust this person. Then you have a stranger. You don't know the stranger. And they're asking you, go and meet this person. But you're just like, I don't know this person. I don't trust this person. But you also have to understand that you also have to want to know the person before you can trust the person.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if, you know, when you want to come to the presence of God, you have to want to know God.
Yeah.
God has different characters. Yes. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace. He's able to serve you in different functions of your life. And you should know God. You should know God's character in every phase.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So that when you want to know God, God wanting to know God will drive you back to the Word of God. You want to understand how did they see God?
Yeah.
How can I see God? You know, there's a place for podcasts, there's a place for YouTube videos, but you want that physical intimacy with God. I want to know God. I want to know the person. I'm not just, the same way, I'm not just going to talk to any human being see on the road. I want to bear my soul to somebody that I know one-on-one, and that you can only find that through the place of the Word of God and through prayer.
Amen.
Just sitting down with your thoughts with God, because you know that He's there with you.
And so God isn't afraid of your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, He's not afraid. Like, God can take it. He can take you. He can take you in whatever state that you come to Him with. And He will make you better.
Yeah.
That is the beauty of coming to God, is that you never leave the same.
Mm.
Every time you, even if the thing is, right, because we have like all these feelings and emotions, right? You always want to feel like something happened.
Yeah.
There are times where I've left the presence of God, but it felt like nothing happened. But you know that months later, God would be like, it was when you prayed that simple prayer that you felt meant nothing, that everything shifted in your heart. Mm. You see, you have to, for you to come to God, you have to not just discipline yourself, right? Because anybody can discipline themselves. There are atheists who have disciplined themselves to read the Bible and to study it word for word. No. Discipline that is not birthed from love means that you are a slave.
Mm.
It is a child who is disciplined in love. And it is love that keeps that child disciplined.
Yeah.
So when I think about the Lord, right, it's not just that God wants me to wake up and pray every day, because I can't do it. Without love, that prayer is a talking exercise.
Yeah, true.
Without love, that reading of my Bible is reading a book. God wants you to love him so much that you choose to do those things.
Yeah.
It's a choice. You know, I always say to people that like are dating is that people are always like, okay, what's the best love advice you could give to someone? One of the best things I can tell somebody is to make sure you choose that person. Like, let it not be for any, let it not be because of your parents, let it not be because of your friends saying that this is a good guy, let it not be because, oh, he's attractive. Make sure that in your heart you choose that person, because later down the line it will be evident through your lack of discipline that you have a lack of love. When you don't want to text that person back, when you don't want to do something nice for that person, it is not because you can't do it. It's because you don't have the love to do it. Love is what provokes you to do something. So you have to choose a person. Mm. So some of us feel like, okay, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but have you chosen him?
Yeah.
Accept and choose. And choosing is not something you do every other day. You have to choose every day. That's why there's this song by Paul Barrett. It says, falling is easy, but staying in love is hard.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. Maybe somebody's thinking, okay, you guys are saying all of these things, but I need something practical. So, you know, when we want to approach God, and this scripture just came to mind, this verse in Matthew that says that even you being evil, when your child, you ask your father for egg, do you give person scorpion and all of that? So I want you to, first of all, just know that God is a loving father. So just go meet him and just say these words and just say, God, I want to know you. As simple as that, with the sincerity of your heart. Don't be scared. When you ask your father for something, he is going to give you.
Amen.
So you can just assume, even you can even pause this episode to just do that.
Yeah.
And just say, God, I want to know. And just trust that it's going to happen.
Yes.
And it's going to happen. Because God is a loving father. You're not going to ask him for something and he will give you another thing.
Exactly.
So people are so scared that, oh, I don't know. If I ask God, maybe he's going to tell me to go to Joss. He may just tell me, like, don't be scared.
Shout out to Joss. If the Lord sends me to Joss, I'm going to be happy. I will escape this Lagos traffic. Come on.
Honestly.
Joss it is. Let's go there.
Just be calm. I know that God is a father. Yeah. And I think that's even something everybody needs to know.
Yes.
And I wanted to even say that, like, something, I was just sharing this with my friend, that something I like about Mars is how she portrays God as who God is. You know, over time, we've seen God as maybe one scary person, deity that is obsessed with rules and regulations, don't do this. Of course, that comes with it, but really, he's a human being, not a, like, he's a person that loves. Like, the Holy Spirit is a person that loves.
Yes.
And I think that's something that really helps. And so even, like, during this week, when you reached out, and I was like, why am I on this podcast? Like, I'm not even, like, if we're going to say, okay, maybe the best, the favorite listener, I'm probably not the best. Like, there are so many persons that love Mars and all of that. Why would God?
You don't love me.
I love you. Oh my God, I love you so much. Like, but then they'll probably be like a plethora of persons.
Yeah.
So why am I going to be? It just shows that. And the Holy Spirit just said, I love you and I want you to be there. And the way God loves you, the way God expresses his love to you and so many other persons, it ranges. And if we look at our lives and we think about it, we see God loving us differently. And I'm like, God, how do you do this?
He's not like us. You see, sometimes to love, to if my friends, to be able to expand myself to everybody is difficult. But God doesn't have that issue. He doesn't have that issue. And I say to my coaching clients all the time, your authority is in your identity. Your authority is in your identity. You want to do big things in the world. You want your authority to do those things is in your identity as a child. When you are a child to a God And you see, God is loving. God, you see, sometimes as Christians, we want to, you know, when people say God is loving, but there's no but. The love of God is also found in his conviction.
Yeah. Yeah.
The love of God is found even in his judgment. So I think it's so important that we add no buts to the love of God because God is love. He said, that's who I am. So what that means is that when the Lord comes in his judgment and on that last day when he comes.
And he will come.
That judgment is not out of hatred.
It's still out of love.
It's out of love. Everything about him is love. He is lion and lamb. He is all. And when we try and minimize him to our physical and earthly understanding of, okay, love is like gooey and it's warm and it's fuzzy. And like, if someone loves you, they should just like, they should never tell you that you're doing anything wrong. They should just like, you know what I mean? Just whatever you do, they should just accept it. And like, sometimes I watch things and people are like, Christians don't act like Christians. Mm. Like, they need to be more loving. Okay, so I should love you and not tell you the truth? Mm. Like, I should love you and see you walking down a path of destruction and just leave you? No. That's not love. Think about it. If there was a fire and you're about to walk exposed into a fire, would I just be like, I love you. Just, you know, do you. Whatever makes you feel good. If that fire burning your skin just like makes you feel happy. Good. If it makes you happy, like, good. No. I would be like, hey. I've had so many uncomfortable conversations with people in my life that like, sometimes in those conversations, they stop talking to me. Mm. And that's just a price you have to pay.
Mm. Wow.
This is real stuff. Where, let's say you come to me now and you're like, oh, I feel led to do this. And I'm like, God can never lead you to do that.
Mm.
Like, it is outside the premise of his word. Don't validate. And then you want to call someone and insult them. Mm. And you want to do all these things and you want to be angry and you want to. I'm never going to validate that. Mm. And if that makes me no longer your friend, then that's okay.
Mm.
We have to stand on, what's that thing they say? Stand on business.
Yeah.
You have to stand on business. Like, this is not the time to be confused.
Hmm. 100%.
This is not the time to say, I didn't know. This is the time to challenge yourself to know.
Yeah.
How are you guys like challenging yourselves to know? Because again, you're like, thank God I've passed that generation of like, but still you're in that generation where people are just like coming up with new ideologies all the time. Yeah. How are you staying the narrow path?
Do you want me to go first?
Speak, cousin.
Okay, so honestly, I feel like in these times that we are in, it still boils down to like relationships. We just need to guarantee ourselves. And I think that's one thing that has helped me so far. So even in our relationship with God and everything that we're doing, sometimes you might get to that point where you're just like, I don't know if you guys have had those questions. You're just like, is God even real? And
is he even enough for me to give my life to?
Is it worth the sacrifice and everything? And in those times, because God is very intense, and like you said initially in this, when we're speaking, that God is not scared of those thoughts. He's not scared of those questions. And maybe in those salient times, maybe a friend will just reach out and that same thought will now be the conversation and they'll be reminding you of your own experiences that makes you know that God is real and is worth it. So basically in this time, I've had constant fellowships. I've held on to my consecrations. And that thing of, I don't know who started it or where it came from, of people staying at home. Maybe it's COVID that caused it.
I think it was definitely COVID.
Then online church, all of those things. That thing is so risky.
Yeah, please. It is.
So I feel like constant going to church, like fellowshipping, feeding in God's word has just been a constant reminder as is me servicing that oil. Yeah. Because the thing is, the devil doesn't like us. The fact that we're on the Lord's side, the devil is constantly trying to pull you out. So I feel like that consciousness that you just waking up, like the devil is not waking up and looking at you dance and all of that. He's trying to pull you out.
100%.
It's making me more like soldiers. Yeah. You know, when Paul says, even MU version this week, it has been on putting on the old armor of God.
Mm.
We're in constant war. And I even feel like this time I even end times and the war is even more intense. So how do I face an intense war? I'm even more intense. This is not the time to be lackadaisical or to do things anyhow. Like you said, don't be confused. Find your reason. Like, find your reason. Yeah. Know why you are doing this. And not just because of some people are doing it, or maybe they think it's fancy or whatever. Why are you on the lost path? And it will still take us back to what we're saying initially. Like, know God for yourself.
For yourself. That's what will save you. Know God for yourself. That's what will save your life. And, like, I was saying about this season of the podcast, right, that it's knowing God that allowed me to even believe that a second season was possible. Now season one, 12 episodes, I did it in my room, I could wear my pajamas and record, right? But it's like God is like, take a bigger leap of faith. Get all this new equipment. How you'll fund it, only you knows, God. Somehow it happened, right? Find somewhere to film. Okay, we've made it happen. But now we've gone from audio to visual, right?
Yeah.
And it stretched me so much. But you know why I said yes to the stretching? Wasn't because I had something to prove to people.
Mm.
It wasn't the applause of people being like, wow, you've come back bigger and better, girl. Go, oh, sis. No.
Yeah.
It was the fact that I knew I had a trustworthy father.
Mm,
that if I fell, he would pick me back up.
Yeah.
I knew it. That's the only thing that made all of this worth it.
Hmm.
Is that if I fell, the Lord would pick me up. I feel like every episode has caused me to trust God more. And beyond that, what every episode has done is that it has deepened my convictions. And it has made me bolder to, again, stand on business.
Like, yeah.
I'm bolder about what I believe, and not just what I believe, but why I believe it.
Why you believe it.
You know, oftentimes, why people don't take Christian seriously is that you believe things you don't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
You have an Psalm 27 is like my Psalm of the year, right? And it says in Psalm 27:4 that to inquire in his temple, this one thing I ask, this one thing I see, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And then it says this, to behold the beauty of the Lord, one. And then it says to inquire in his temple. Now you think about the fact that you are the temple of God, so you are inquiring in the Lord's temple, in yourself, right? And you have to get to a point where you are not just being like, oh, Jesus, I love you, good. But you ask him questions.
Yeah.
You inquire. And now people call inquiry progressive Christianity, where they now come up to their own conclusions. But no, inquire in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher, to answer your question.
Yeah.
Because no one is going to believe you if you don't understand what you're saying. Yeah. Right. So I remember for such a long time in my life, like, I used to think certain things like, oh, being bitter and angry, it's not an issue. Like, if somebody has offended me, I have every right to be offended. But then I read scripture, and then in Proverbs it says things like, when you love and when you forgive, you're putting coals of fire on somebody's head. I'm like, I ain't gotta fight for myself. Like, you see how I will then watch things like in Exodus or in Second Chronicles and just see how the Lord fought people by himself. Stop trying to fight people. Now I sit back. You know, one thing that I would tell anyone that's experienced pain in friendships is that it's okay to be a villain in somebody's story. Let people think whatever they want to think.
Yeah.
That boldness to be authentically myself, it is changing my life. Because now I don't go where I don't want to go. I don't do what I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I will stand on the authority of the Word of God to explain to you why I will not do that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Season 2, You Can Rest Your Podcast, has finally come to an end. But what this season has done in my life is forever, because this marked my life this year for good. This was the year I came into a place where I realized there was nothing I was missing out with God. I was not missing out on anything. If I wasn't attending every, you know, Christian program and everything, there was nothing I was missing out on. I came into a place of full rest in God, where if God said something, I was going to hold on to it, believe it with my everything, even if it did not make sense. This year, my heart, I would say that one of the things that this podcast did for me was really fill my heart up with thanksgiving all the way. There was always everything to just be grateful to God for. This season revived my prayer life. I would say that this was a season that taught me friendship with God deeply.
Amen. I love that. She said this season revived her prayer life. You see, you're not doing God any favors when you pray. Yeah. It's for you.
It's for you.
Yeah.
It's for you. God already loves you. As in, your prayer is not going to make him love you more.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing more and more is that sometimes the enemy wants our promise to be incomplete. Because there are certain things you need to see in the place of prayer. There is a way the Lord might want you to war in the place of prayer. Yeah. And the enemy wants your warfare to be incomplete. So when you're just like, oh, I won't be consistent anymore, you're the one being cheated.
Yeah, true.
You're the one being cheated. I don't know if Esther would have had the boldness to go to the king if she she did a one-day fast instead of doing the complete 3 days that the Lord asked her to do. Like, we need to not think that, oh, you know, whatever happens, even if I don't do it, like, it's fine. There's so much on the other side of your promise to pray and of your obedience, and you may not see it. You may not see it. There are times where, let's say, God has asked me in a season of my life, it was like, okay, wake up every day at 3 a.m. again, please do not copy me. But wake up every day, because we're in an age where people make the individual things doctrine. So I'm covering my hair, everybody else must. I don't want that, you know? So, but in this season of my life, again, God asked me to wake up at 3 a.m. and to give him thanks by dancing. And there were days where literally that 3 a.m. alarm will ring. I'll just be in my bed like this. I was like, God, I'm not going to disobey, but I'll dance. Just whatever move I can. And I'll just say, thank you, God, you know? But like, I can't tell you that I understand why my warfare in terms of dancing had to be complete. Why I had to wake up at that 3 a.m. all the time, consistent. I don't know what God saw in my doing that. You know, I don't know how he honored that. I have no clue, but I know something happened. You know, in Joshua 3, I believe it says, consecrate yourself to me, for tomorrow I will do amazing things. What that means is that the amazing things the Lord wanted to do was based upon their consecration. Again, honor the consecration upon your life. Honor the season you are in. If you are in a season where the Lord is requiring, for me right now, why I'm so happy, I mean, I'm sorry guys, I'm going to miss you, but I'm so happy that the podcast has come to an end, is because there is a place in prayer that I want to get to. It's not for anybody, it's for me. I want to ascend to that place. Like, I want to see Jesus in so many new ways. You know, I want to touch his hand. I want to be close to him. I want, like, there is always more.
That's
I'm
true.
Never satisfied.
Of course.
This is not enough. There has to be more. This is a kingdom where to be sustained, to be full, you can't, you know, we in this kingdom, on this earth rather, to be full, you eat to be full. But in the kingdom, you eat to be hungry. I want to be hungry. I never want to be like, oh yeah, all I've seen is everything. I'm cool. So how would you guys say your your prayer life is changing. Are you wanting more in the place of prayer? What does that look like for you on a day-to-day? Ozichi, do you want to answer?
So for me, I'm not going to lie, prayer has been something that like I kind of have struggled with.
Mm.
But like something that I had God tell me was like, when you fall, pick yourself back up again. Mm. So when I don't pray for a day, I want to say, oh God, I didn't pray, then I'm going to take a break the next day.
Mm-mm.
No, God is like
that second, no, do it. Yeah.
When you remember, pray.
Yeah.
And that's what has helped me over time. I'm just like, I'm not going to lay in guilt for so long. I'm going to pick up myself and, you know, pray. Because the Bible says, you know, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is not based on, oh my God, I don't want to do this thing anymore. No. You have to constantly walk in the spirit. You have to pray.
Yes, you have to
constantly pray.
Not somebody praying for you.
There's a place for somebody pray for you, yeah. But there's also a place of you asking God, staying in the presence of God, soaking the presence of God. And also because for me, I've also come to a place where at the end of the day, I've seen myself asking that, you know, to what end is my being on earth for?
Mm.
Will I just, you know, I'll go to primary school, I'll go to high school, yeah. I'll go to university, I'll get a job, I'll get married, yeah, and that's
give
it. So there has to be, there's something more.
There has to
and
be.
I can find that something more in the place of prayer.
Yeah.
So I find myself asking God, God, what would you have me do per time?
Yeah. Mm.
What is your plan for me? There's something for me for this world. There's something for me that I can only get in the place of prayer. Because of this world needs light.
Oh, yeah.
This world needs you. As a Christian, I'm telling you that this world needs you.
Mm.
And you cannot just go in the world of your own accord, of your own power. Mm-mm. You need the power of Jesus. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. And you can only find that in the place of prayer.
Power of the Holy Ghost. You spot on. And sometimes what prayer does is that it unlocks within you a knowledge of what you have access to. If there are things that sometimes in the place of prayer, I don't know if it's happened to you, you just feel so powerful.
Yeah.
Like you feel so charged. Oh, like, yeah. I feel like 100%. I'm this burning bush. Like anybody come near me,
pop. Like, honestly.
It was like Spider-Man. Like literally, I feel unstopped. I even like with fasting, like the way it empowers me, I can't explain it. Like, you wonder how Jesus, you see, sorry. Jesus went into the wilderness, right, to fast and pray for 40 days.
Yeah.
Okay. When Jesus, it says that at the end of the fast, the enemy came to tempt him. What that made me think is that, that means the devil wasn't threatened by
the prayer
and fasting.
True.
What threatened the devil was that in the prayer and fasting, Jesus had the word of God within him.
Mm.
Because when he was tested, it was not the prayer and fasting. 100%. It was the word of God within him.
Yeah.
That's why she said something in her voice note, just like, not wanting to do what everyone is doing, not wanting to be at everything, because it's so possible as a child of God that you can be there doing all this activity.
Yeah, religious activity.
Religious activity, spending so much time performing for God, doing all these things, and you think you're being empowered in that place.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that in John 15, it tells us that it is the word of God that prunes us.
Mm-hmm.
So that place of intimacy with God, prayer, of course fasting, but the word of God. Because John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if you're looking for God, find him in the word.
Yeah.
So it's that combination of the word of God being God, prayer using the word of God, and then fasting as well, in the authority of the word of God and the authority of you being a child of God. That's what makes you impenetrable.
Yeah.
That's what gives you that power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what means that the enemy looks at you and is like, ah, this one. Or if he even dares try, he regrets the day that he ever messes with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, just to add a few things. And especially in this day and age where, you know, it's, you see a lot of people say, that, you know, I'm not happy, I'm a bit sad. And coming from me, I'm someone that's kind of struggled with, like, you know, being happy and stuff. And because I know that, like, it's written in the Word of God. Like I said, the Word of God is my final authority. Yes, and the Word of God, it says the fruit of the Spirit are joy, peace. So I've had to ask myself that, okay, God, I'm your child. I'm a child of God.
Why am I not feeling joy?
Why am I not feeling peace? And I've learned that, like, it is in that place of prayer, constant prayer. So you see people now, you know, sometimes it's, especially if you're feeling sad, you'll be like, okay, I've prayed for one day, and why am I not feeling, you know, I'm not feeling happy, so I want to give up. But I'll tell you that it doesn't work that way.
That's not how it works.
The same way, if you are praying for somebody with headache, or you're praying for somebody with diabetes, if you're praying for that person, and, you know, you pray for that person and say you don't see an immediate miracle, you're not just going to give up and 100%. Be like, no, I prayed one day. 100%. No, you're going to keep on tarrying the place of prayer. And if you understand that, like, sometimes the way the devil works, he uses sadness, he uses depression as an oppression on your mind.
Yes.
And you understand that this is a sickness, this is a disease from the devil.
Yeah.
So you're going to, you know, tarrying the place of prayer. I'm going to be happy. Yeah. I'm going to see the joy of the Spirit. I'm going to, you know, express the joy as the fruit of the Spirit.
Exactly.
You're going to stay in that place of prayer. Amen. And that, you know, that's what works.
And I think, you see, what we're talking about is building an altar of prayer. Like, people need to get into the rhythm of building a personal altar. Like, for me now, right? From the moment I met my soon-to-be husband, right, I built an altar of prayer over him. Every day on my phone, there was a reminder to pray for him and us. Every day. So that altar was being built and cultivated. And I think until you understand that life, everything in life is spiritual, you will stop being carnal about things. And so I posted yesterday, I was like, hey, brides ought to pray, because I can't vouch that all the people getting married are with that same mindset. You must build an altar. You're starting a business, you must build an altar. This podcast was not built through, oh, I just like it, I think it'll be nice to do something fun. No, it was built with an altar. Every week my team and I pray, every week, unfailing. Even if someone is not able to join that prayer, the two of us who can will join. The three of us who can, we don't say, oh, now we won't do it. No. You must maintain that altar. There was a testimony by a man who said that they were, he called it covenant prayer, right? And he said the enemy's plan was to cause them to break that covenant prayer. So you will now argue with somebody that you're supposed to be building covenant prayer with. So you will now not be praying. You think that, oh, that person is bad. You don't know that the enemy just wanted you guys to fall out. So that not just that, you won't be friends, but that covenant prayer will be broken. I have a certain relationship in my life where, like, covenant was broken. And to the mercy of God, I don't know how it has affected either of us. But we used to say over ourselves that a threefold cord cannot be broken. And the Lord gave us that scripture over ourselves being three, right? And we broke it. And the other day I sat before the Lord and I was just like, God, I repent. And I just need the humility to go back and be like, hey, can we uphold that covenant again? Because covenant should not be broken. That altar should not be broken. You're building an altar. You should not tear it down. Like, especially if that altar is unto the Lord. That's why I see prayer, especially personal prayer, as me building an altar. And it's costly. It costs time. It costs energy. It costs me, you know, I can't remember. I went out on Sunday and I said to my friends that, wow, I haven't been out to, like, a restaurant in months because I just don't have the time for it. Like, I just don't have the flexibility in my schedule. One, and the times that I do have, I'm spending time with the Lord on the weekends. How will I know the Father's heart? What will I come on this podcast and tell you people if I don't? It's a sacrifice. Building an altar of prayer is a sacrifice. But I promise you, it is worth it.
It's rewarding.
It's rewarding. And I challenge you, if you always feel like, I have to go to this next thing, there are some things the Lord will order your steps and say, hey, go for this conference. But don't feel like you are missing out on something if you are not there. don't feel like that, because it it's very real to have FOMO even with the things of God. So enjoy where God has you. Build a consistent altar unto the Lord and show up every day, even with your small. Even if your prayer is just, there are times where I've gone to the place of prayer and I'm just like, God help me. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to talk to you today. I'm not in the mood. I'm tired. I'm upset. I'm disillusioned. You know, I wanted to talk specifically to people who are dealing with the spirit of disappointment. Because that's one reason why people don't want to go to God, is because they are disappointed. That I came to you last time,
you didn't
do anything. It's like, it's like, you know, the woman with the alabaster box. Imagine if Jesus just saw to her, Jesus walked over her oil and didn't stop to pause and look at it. And that's how some of us feel, is that we're wasting our oil at his feet and he's just looking at it and thinking, I'm not doing anything. Thank you. Never. And I come against that spirit of disappointment that makes you feel like God was not trustworthy, or that he didn't do what he said he would do. I promise you, God's word is final. He keeps his promises.
Yes,
sir. I was saying to you guys that the last episode of season one, I was what, like maybe 3 months into my relationship, and Efwa asked me, oh, what do you look forward to? Like, oh, I was like, oh, I want to get married soon. Like, I look forward to being married. And like, here I am, engaged to be married.
Yeah.
And recording that episode, like, I mean, I hoped that it would happen soon. I mean, it was a new relationship, but like, thank God we went into it with like knowing exactly what we wanted, but not when we wanted it, right? So even to be sitting here, season two finale, and knowing that I will come back in season three, married, you know what I mean? Like, it's wild.
In this day and age, we're you know, people like to say kingdom marriage, and they specify kingdom.
Do you guys know what that is?
Okay.
You
know,
people like to say kingdom marriage, and they specify kingdom marriage to celebrities getting married. Yeah. But no, kingdom marriage is you. A Christian brother and a Christian sister raising a godly home.
You see, the usher in your church, right, that is getting married to the other usher in your church is a kingdom marriage.
That's a kingdom
and
marriage.
Should be celebrated to that degree.
I just want to say something for you. So one of my friends tweeted something about it. She was like, okay, if celebrity Christians get married, it's kingdom marriage. But if we that want to celebrities get married, it's called church wedding.
Honestly, I'm done.
So we just have to treat it as such. You have to ask yourself, I'm going to have to, you know, people like to, you know, say that they will act different. People will believe that they will act different. You know, I'm going to be better than my parents. But you need self-awareness. Because I've seen people be like, okay, I'm not going to do this. But when they're faced with that situation,
They do it. You become whatever you behold.
And you become, people don't understand, it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of self-awareness. To grow out of habit. Sometimes you think that, okay, I'm not going to do this, but you've watched this person do this constantly, and it's something
it's
that
ingrained
some people, whether you like it. When they get married, they will change.
If
you are so egocentric,
when
you see the love of your life,
do you know what will happen? It will become worse. That ego will be boosted more by the devil, because do you know what? The devil hates marriage, so he will do everything to destroy the home. Like, I love what you said about being self-aware. Oh. Like, it took me 3 years after my last relationship to feel like, okay, maybe 2 years, to feel like, wow, I've studied myself in the presence of God. Again, in the presence of God. Self-awareness that you do by yourself is not honest, though.
Yeah.
You will not know. It's when there are things God has pointed out to me, I'm like, huh? Can never be me.
Right.
What do you mean? Can never be me. Can you say I have a heart like that, or I think about?
Yeah.
And okay, this is a word for somebody, right? It's not your job to change a man. And if you take on that task, you realize it's too much for you.
100%.
You cannot change anybody. There is a plague that is coming a lot on women, right? Which is that my old pastor always used to say, shout out to Pastor Steve, he always used to say that you should not flirt to convert. Mm. I'll even go further, is don't flirt to change. And there are a lot of, if you look through scripture, you'll see that a lot of women had intercessory gifts, right? Mm. So they would come across different people. And I feel like a lot of women are ending up marrying the man they were not supposed to marry, but to intercede for.
Yeah.
That's why my greatest piece of advice is to see nothing with the flesh. Mm. Don't even see your Christian kindness in the flesh. Because to you, it's like, oh, I'm just being nice. The brother needs some help. He's going through a lot. He needs, you know, he needs guidance. The Holy Spirit will be his guide.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Stop pretending.
Yeah, it's actually pretense. Because you know.
You know what you're hoping will come out of it. That he'll come to church and, you know, the moment he lifts up his hands, you're like, that's my man. That's him. I'm watching you. Intercessor. Remain an intercessor. Don't become a wife to the person you were merely supposed to pray for.
Hallelujah.
Because it's happening. Mm. Again, take heed.
We are dating who we are supposed to be preaching to, who we are supposed to be talking to. We're not. The church is not a dating space.
Hallelujah.
I did not say it. She did. Right. Again, like I would say, again, like I said, do not date with the flesh. Do not see anybody with the flesh. Because I promise you, if I was in the flesh, I wouldn't be here in the situation that I'm about to walk into. And I'm just grateful for the mercy. For the mercy of God. The last thing I want to ask you guys is what do you feel like God is saying in this hour? Is there anything you felt the Lord say? Is there anything you're sensing? Yeah.
I think she's always like, okay, sis,
go off.
Okay, so I think, to be honest, I feel like what I've just been sensing really strong recently is I feel the Lord is calling me believers to solitude.
Ooh, I feel that as well.
Like, I feel like there's been a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And recently I've seen this obsession with everybody wants to be on the stage, everyone wants to hold a mic, everybody wants to be a pastor. No, like I don't know how to say that. It doesn't sound like, I mean, God is calling a lot of people, like the averse is plenty.
But you don't need a stage to be called.
Yeah, but I feel like especially our generation.
Yes.
It's like everybody just wants to be a P, I'm okay, a pastor, this. If everyone just wants to be
I think that it's more cynical what the enemy is doing. What he wants people to do is to become a standard. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that because we all have phones, you can say anything and become a standard. So the enemy is like, okay, all of you use your voices.
Yeah, talk. Everybody wants
and your talking is not in your mind, it might be to glorify the Lord, but it is actually bringing glory to yourself.
So I feel like this, and even to me, like what I'm saying to me too, like the Lord is just telling us to focus on Him more. Like, let's have that time. So everybody wants, like, I think we even said a lot in this episode, everybody wants to be at this program, at that program, everybody wants to be everywhere, but nobody's actually looking at God.
And who's waiting on Him?
Like, okay, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? And we're taking God out of the picture, and we're so obsessed with religious activities, with doing work for God, and no work with God. So I feel like that's something that's the word. Lord is saying this time, like, can we go back to God? Amen. Can we all go back to God and know what He's saying to every one of us? Can we have that? Can we? Quiet time is not old school.
Yeah.
Quiet time is something everybody as believers should have. There's so much noise in this world. There's so much standard. Everybody wants to break a record. We're so carried away with so many things. And even one of the episodes you even talked about money was so crucial. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to. The devil is just bringing new inventions every day, every time. And where is God in all of this? Can we remember that God is our creator?
Amen.
And we are living life to the audience of one.
Amen.
At the end of everything, God is going to ask you, you're going to be accountable to God. Are you pleasing God even amidst what you're doing?
Yeah.
As a student, as a married woman, as we're still going to do all of these things. Not like at the end, we're not going to be monks or nobody's going to have a life.
Yeah.
We're still going to have a life. But
yeah.
Are you pleasing
yes.
God?
Yeah. I love
that's
that.
Just
I love that. What about you?
So for me, it's actually, you know, three things is discernment,
yes,
consecration, amen. And I don't, the last one is not a word, but it's just like, actually it's a word, evangelism, mm. basically. For me, the first one is discernment. We have to be very discerning because I've seen it play out, yeah. You know, we have to be very discerning because I've seen it play out where, you know, a lot of people want to use the church space as a social currency.
Yes.
You know, where they come and they walk the
and a physical currency. Mm-hmm,
as a physical
too.
Currency, they want to get business. They want to get married to a God-fearing woman or a God-fearing husband. They want to play the part of a pastor or even a man of God. They don't have to come out and say they are pastors. But really, there is no fruit of the spirit. There is nothing. There is no depth. So you have to be discerning. Who you listen to, who you let into your life, who are you giving your heart to, who are you giving your ears to. The Bible says a lot of people will claim to be me, but they are not of me. So we have to be very discerning, especially in this last day when we see people, you know, springing up. We have to be very discerning. And the second one is consecration. We have to live a very consecrated life. I'm learning it also where that slowly that some things that I'm letting go off. And it's not like I'm not going to come here and tell you what to do. You go and ask God. But 100%. I can't lie to you, there are basic things that, you know, that God demands of us, and we should. I'm going to tell you to go to your to the Word of God and find them there. And that's just it. Oh, consecration is not old school. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you like to go to a balance of, okay, our parents did too much, so let's go to the other extreme where God wants you to come. But he doesn't want you to remain the way you are. The proof that you have met God is that there is changed desires where you no longer want the old things. You find that your desires are changing. I'm coming from a place where my music changes. Like, my music taste is changing.
Yeah.
I used to listen to core rap, like core trap, where, like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to, you know, everybody shooting with this one. And I've seen my music taste change.
Yeah, so
where I'm just like, why am I listening to this stuff? Where I wake up in the morning and I want to listen to gospel music, and it's just a game changer for me, where I'm like, okay, this is what I want to listen to. And it's not old fashioned to want to spend time in the presence of God, where the things of the world no longer have that taste to you. They no longer matter to you.
Your
and
desires
my
change.
Desires are changing. And it's a, for me, it's a journey, and it's a continuous journey, where sometimes even when I fall, I pick myself back up again. That's it. Third one is evangelism. God has, like, you have received, you know, the salvation of God, and we are proof that God's salvation exists. And we're not just proof, we should be announcers of God's salvation.
Hallelujah.
We have to go out and preach the gospel. So wherever you are, you know, sometimes we like to see, like, social media. Social media is not just there.
It's not.
Use your legs and go out.
Use your feet.
Use your feet and go out. Preach. If you're an Uber driver, preach, preach to them. The world needs Jesus. We're seeing it day by day. We're seeing horrible ideologies, we're seeing false ideologies, we're seeing depravity in various intensities, and the world really needs Jesus. In your own way, speak to the person around you.
Hallelujah.
I love that. Like, I would say everything they said. And I would just say what I deeply sense is that many prodigals are going to come home.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So I had a ministration last week. And the space that we use, I've used that space for events before. There are also other people I know that I've done events with there. And as I sat there, I started weeping. And God was just like, a lot of the people that used to come for your events in this space, where are they now? And I was like, God, we've lost so many. There are so many who no longer believe. Or their convictions have eroded. You know, they no longer see Jesus in the purity and beauty of who he is. They've chosen lesser lovers. They've worshipped their idols. You know, the expansion that God gave them now became their worship, their affection, their devotion. And I just said, God, please send the prodigals home. When they come home, I will hug them. I won't ask them questions. I won't shout at them. No.
Yeah.
When they come home, I will hug them. So I believe that many prodigals are coming home, but you have to be prepared
to receive them.
That father was prepared to receive the prodigal son.
He was always checking.
He was always. So I want you all to be prepared to receive the prodigals. Let them not meet a version of you that does not have love, does not have joy, is not patient, is not steadfast, because these people will need your patience. Yeah. They will need the fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in your life. So yeah, that's it. We're going to play one more voice note from a listener.
Hi, Maz. Hello, Team You Can Rest here. How are you all doing?
We're good.
First off, thank you so much for showing up and just allowing God to use you on this platform. It has really blessed my life and I'm so thankful for it. I have really enjoyed this season. Yes, I have a couple of episodes to still catch up on, but for the ones I've listened to, which I listened to again and again, it has really blessed my life and I'm thankful. Rest for me is trusting in God's ability to see me through on the journeys and assignments he will have me be on this season, and knowing that as a faithful father that he would not want me to fail, he's able to keep me through to the end. Amen. And I trust and I believe that he will see me through.
Amen. Thank
you.
Wow.
You see, we said something, someone said something about this season being a rebirth. I think it was Adesi. Yeah. And there's a scripture that the Lord put on my heart yesterday. It's Jude 1, 24 to 25. And we'll round up with this. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. So I pray that the Lord indeed will continue to keep you from falling. Amen. He will, but I pray you will receive his help.
Amen.
And that you will be presented faultless before the presence of his glory. Amen. With exceeding joy. Amen. In Jesus' name. I love you guys. Amen. And season 2 is done. Woo-hoo. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you to my lovely co-host.
Thank you for having us.
God bless you guys. Bye.
Bye.